Welcome to a special episode of the Projection Booth. I'm Mike White. Rob St. Mary is currently on a mission to the heart of Lake Wobegon. He's been sent by butchers to collect a bill. On this special episode, I'm flying solo and talking about the state of the state, that is, the state of Michigan and the state of film at the moment in the state of Michigan. This is by no means a comprehensive look, but just a cursory glance at some of the highlights. In a little bit, I'll be playing back an interview I did with Russ Collins and Amanda Bynum of the Michigan Theater about the Cinetopia Film Festival in Ann Arbor. Also, I've got a very important announcement about the projection booth that I'll share a little bit later on. But first, I want to announce the call for entries for a few festivals in Michigan. First off, we've got the Blue Water Film Festival, which is currently accepting entries with a deadline of Friday, June 15, 2012. The main rules for entry is that the film, feature or short, must have been shot in the state of Michigan or Ontario, Canada, or that the individual submitting the film must have participated in the production of the entry and have a permanent address in the state of Michigan or Ontario, Canada. Yes, Blue Water has opened up their catchment area to include not just Sarnia and Windsor, but all of Ontario, all the way from Hudson Bay down to Pelee Island. If you haven't been to the Blue Water Film Festival up in Port Huron, I can't recommend it enough. I was there last October, and it was a great time. Not only is the area gorgeous, but the films were great, and the folks running the festival are some of the nicest you could ever hope to meet. For more information, please visit their website at bluewaterfilmfestival.com. All right, from the thumb right down to the lower middle of the state, we've got the East Lansing Film Festival. They're celebrating their 15th year this year with their festival in November. Their cutoff date is July 1st, 2012, and they're accepting entries via withoutabox.com. Be aware that if your film was even a quarter produced, directed, or financed in one of the states bordering Lake Michigan, if you're geographically impaired, that's Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, you can submit it to the Lake Michigan Film Competition as part of the East Lansing Film Festival. That's over at www.elff.com for more details. I'm not aware of any other Michigan film festivals currently accepting entries. Unfortunately, there's not really a good central repository for that kind of information, at least none that I know of. The last list that I made of Michigan film festivals a few years ago, which is still over at my blog, is completely out of date with most of the URLs leading to 404s. In more pleasant news, let's talk about some of the film festivals that are still alive and kicking. Cinetopia is a brand spanking new film festival that's taking place May 31st to June 3rd in Ann Arbor. They're kicking off the event on May 31st, and they've got movies running all day on June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Michigan Theater, State Theater, and Angel Hall in beautiful Ann Arbor. The sun always shines in Ann Arbor. Let's go ahead. I'm going to play back the interview that I did with Russ and Amanda of the Michigan Theater talking about Cinetopia and what you can expect. I have been to the Ann Arbor Film Festival before, but never to the Cinetopia Film Festival. Is this the first year that it's happening?
Yes, it is.
All right. So what brought this about?
We've been honored to be selected by the Sundance Film Festival as part of their Art House Project initiative. So I've gotten to go to the Sundance Film Festival for the last 7 years. And then a couple years ago, I was selected as a juror at the Cleveland Festival. It's Cleveland Film Festival, and last year I was a juror at the Traverse City Film Festival. Strangely, the Detroit metropolitan area doesn't have a rather large-scale international film festival. And what I mean by international film festival is the same kind of festival format that they use in Berlin and Sundance and Toronto and Cannes and frankly, Cleveland and Traverse City as well. So it's essentially feature-length narrative films, feature-length story-based films. The Ann Arbor Film Festival is wonderful, but it's a genre festival that's focused on experimental films. And experimental films are all kinds of things, but generally, on average, they're short films that don't have a plot. They're not story-based. They're the kind of thing that push the aesthetic. The Ann Arbor Film Festival type of film pushes the aesthetic envelope of cinema, which is very cool. And this festival, the Cinetopia International Film Festival, is again, a more story-based, character-driven kind of film that will be the core component of the festival.
How were the films chosen? Was this an entry kind of thing, or was there a program that was curated? Did you guys do those choosing?
We curated the program primarily based on films that we have seen at the Sundance Film Festival, the Cleveland International Film Festival, and the Traverse City Film Festival over the last few years. One of the things that's been really nice about this inaugural festival is we have a deep pool to draw from, having years worth of really outstanding films to choose from, things that haven't played in the area ever. So we've been really fortunate that we've been able to program a lot of those films, things that just played at Sundance and Cannes and Berlin and the Venice Film Festival, award winners, and then some other things that are just a little bit old that hadn't come our way yet.
The key point is this is a curated festival. And again, we're basing this on the Traverse City Film Festival is programmed in a similar way, as is the Cleveland Film Festival. So what we're doing is we're selecting the best of the best film festivals. So Sundance is a film where they have a submission process. They also invite filmmakers to show their films there. Berlin, Toronto, those are the industry festivals. And this is a festival that we, like most of these type of festivals, where the films are curated from those festivals into these regional festivals.
Yeah, you said you have some older films and newer. I mean, The Freshman definitely is a little bit older.
A little bit.
Yeah, and that's actually part of our festival concept. The primary content of the festival is contemporary cinema. So they're films that are made within the last 18 months. But we also want to celebrate cinema in addition to showcasing the best in contemporary festival cinema. Every year we will do some degree of silent film because that's a long-term curatorial dynamic at the Michigan Theater. So this year we're doing Harold Lloyd. Next year, who knows what we'll do. But we've got these excellent musical accompanists for the silent film. So we want to showcase that skill that we have at the Michigan Theater and also celebrate the aesthetic origins of cinema. We also will every year celebrate screenwriting because Michigan as a state and the University of Michigan in particular have been very influential in terms of the screenwriters that come out of our part of the world. So whether it's Lawrence Kasdan or Arthur Miller, or a very important screenwriter that people don't seem to know these days, Dudley Nichols, but he wrote the screenplay to Bringing Up Baby and Stagecoach, as well as a lot of other very seminal early talking films. And the guys that did American Pie and a lot of contemporary stuff. So throughout the history of cinema, Michigan writers, Michigan screenwriters have made that kind of a contribution. And this year, we're celebrating 3D, and that's where we will celebrate various dynamics of filmmaking. So this year it's 3D, and we'll always celebrate screenwriting, and we'll always have some small component of silent film dynamic. But again, of the 35 films, 27 of them are contemporary festival films that are feature length and that you would see at the best film festivals around the world.
When it comes to the screenwriting, are you focusing on one particular screenwriter this year?
Yep. This year we're focusing on David Newman. He was a 1958 graduate of U of M, best known for the screenplays for Superman, What's Up, Doc, and Bonnie and Clyde, all of which we'll be showing during Cinetopia this year.
Just because I'm such a film geek, I guess, what kind of formats are we going to be seeing these things in?
We're showing a lot of Blu-ray. We're showing 35 millimeter. We have one HD cam.
We're showing whatever is most appropriate. Right. The Michigan Theater is capable of showing about every possible format of film, mm-hmm. from you know, silent speed 35 to various kinds of 16, 70 millimeter. We can do dual projector, interlock, 3D. We can do dual image, single strip, polarized 3D. We can do anaglyphic 3D. We can do digital 3D. We can do DCI digital. We can do non-DCI digital. So we will show the film in whatever format the filmmaker supplies it to us. So if it's 35, it's 35. If it's DCI, it's DCI. If it's another kind of digital format, then we'll show it in those formats.
Russ, I love when you talk dirty to me. All these all these different formats are wonderful. I've seen everything from 16 up to 70 at the Michigan, and it's always a treat. When it comes to the 3D stuff, how is that going to be projected?
It depends on the film.
A little bit of everything. We have a couple that are showing through DCP packages. Those are Hugo, the contemporary, Academy Award winner. So super excited about that. And then also Cane Toads, The Conquest, which is a documentary about the infiltration and infestation of cane toads on Australia's, on the entire continent. And it is, I believe they tout it as it's an environmental horror story, but it's also a very funny film told in that sort of comedic documentary style.
And those were made as digital 3D.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Creature from the Black Lagoon.
And the Stewardesses, which are both anaglyphic. Mm-hmm.
How much support have you guys gotten from the university on this one?
We've worked really closely with the Department of Screen Arts and Cultures on campus. It's literally around the corner from the Michigan Theater. They've been incredibly helpful both in the curating of the program. They've made some outstanding suggestions, some of which we were able to take, and then also in helping us secure our venue on campus, Angel Hall.
So as you can tell, the university has been very cooperative, but it's a Michigan Theater production.
Yes.
We're the chief curator, we're the venue coordinators, we're the marketing coordinators and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is a pilot project, a pilot program for us. We have modest expectations. We hope that 5,000 people come to the festival. If this grows and grows and grows the way that Traverse City and Cleveland and Chicago and Sundance and all those places grow, then it's going to mean that 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people come down the road. But we're not expecting that for many years. Right. But that's the kind of impact and the kind of opportunity that there may be there. Because, Cleveland does 90,000 people at their festival,
right,
and it's half the size of the Detroit metropolitan area. So, we should be able to create a festival that, the entire southern Michigan, from Grand Rapids to Grosse Pointe can embrace, and everything in between.
What can local folks do to help make sure that there is a Cinematopia 2, 3, 4, 5?
They can come.
Yeah, come to the festival. Buy some tickets and come see some movies. We've got so many outstanding films that I feel pretty good about saying there's something for everyone.
Yeah, and there are ticket packages, mm-hmm. the voucher program that we have. You buy 8 tickets, you get 2 free. If you're a Michigan Theater member, you can buy a special pass, a gold card member, one of our special mm-hmm. kinds of members, and we have a special kind of pass that you can purchase, but if they're only available for gold card members. If someone really wants to support the festival and get total VIP treatment, they can become mogul pass holders. Those are $500 a person, but it guarantees you seating. If you just show your mogul pass, you're shown right
walk
to your
right
specially
in.
Reserved seat. Most of the tickets are the typical kind of festival mm-hmm. price for tickets. They're not the mogul pass kind of thing. and a lot of film artists are coming in from out of town. Harold Lloyd's granddaughter is coming in to make very special presentations mm-hmm. at the 3 screenings of Harold Lloyd films that we're doing. And literally contemporary film artists from all points, east, west, north, south, are coming here to be with their films. Not all of the films are the film artists, but many of them do.
Of all the films that are showing, what are some of the favorites that you guys have? I'll start with you, Amanda.
I was fortunate enough to just be able to catch a screener of one of the films we have showing, Elena, which I booked based on buzz and reputation and a relationship that we have with the distributor. And it sounded good, but I finally watched it and I loved it. It's got this outstanding score by Philip Glass that's just kind of haunting throughout the film. It's a Russian film, a morality play slash thriller, and it's really, really outstanding. And, you know, I just saw it, so I'm really excited about it right now. Another one that I love that I saw back at Sundance was The Queen of Versailles, which was one of their opening night films. We'll be showing that on Saturday here at the Michigan Theater. It's a documentary. It was the U.S. Documentary Award winner at Sundance this year for their director, the directing award for their director, Lauren Greenfield. And it's a story, it's a riches to rags story about the family building the largest single family dwelling in North America, 90,000 square feet, and how with the economy faltering, how they're not really able to see that house come to fruition. It's really, really compelling, very quirky.
And that was one of the opening night films at Sundance. Yep. The other opening night film at Sundance, Hello, I Must Be Going, is our opening night film on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And that's got some very compelling performances. Yep. It's a very, American indie kind of film that is very compelling with good performances. Mm-hmm. Gwyneth Paltrow's mom is in it. And John Rubenstein, who is a Broadway and movie star. The thing that's hard about this is that literally they are the cream of the crop of the festival stuff.
I think Russ said the other day that it's kind of like picking your favorite child.
Yeah.
There's so many that are so good.
There's another Russian film that's a musical, and it's set in 1950-era Soviet Russia. But it's a musical about these kids who have fallen in love with American rock and roll, and they have these underground clubs and underground culture where they, you know, they're worshiping Elvis Presley and all that 1950s rock and roll. And it's a song and dance extravaganza. It's a lot of fun. There's an Australian musical called Brand New Day with Jeffrey Rush in it. He plays a very strict priest in a high school for Aboriginal kids. And it's a lot of fun. There's a comedy, a British comedy called The Infidel that I thought was hilarious about this Muslim gentleman who, you know, he drinks a little, smokes occasionally, you know, and he's a regular guy. But you know, he was raised a Muslim, and his family are all very enculturated in the Muslim traditions. His mother dies, and he finds out that both he was adopted and both of his birth parents were Jewish. And so he goes through this kind of existential crisis that's just hilarious. And I thought that was a lot of fun. On and on and on. There's another American indie film called The Lie that I just got a chance to see yesterday that I liked a lot. But I haven't seen anything and there's, again, there's like 28 of these contemporary films. Documentary films, Putin's Kiss, which is about Putin's Russia, Denmark film, Teddy Bear, which is this Danish film. We happen to have an unusual number of Danish films.
Surprising number. We're showing Bullhead, which was an Academy Award nominee for Best Foreign Language Film that hasn't come through our area yet. A lot of people are excited about that. It looks like a tough movie to watch, but just outstanding. So there are so many good films. We could talk on and on, probably say something wonderful about each of them.
And one of the reasons that we went into this was because with the democratization of cinema, there are really just a tremendous number of good films that don't get distribution. And as much as, you know, you can watch stuff on YouTube, and there's other kind of direct digital internet kind of distribution, seeing a film at a theater is the way that the filmmakers want you to see it. That's what most of these films that we're showing, that's how the filmmakers expected the audience to experience it. So artistically, that's important. But also, theatrical showings are things that I think even more than the internet, a lot of times, are the things that create the buzz that provide the support to the filmmakers. So, we're paying royalties to the filmmakers because we want to support the filmmakers. That's part of the mission that we have. And also, film festivals have become an important distribution outlet for filmmakers. And that's more important now even than it was 5 years ago. because of the proliferation of channels and the difficulty of grabbing the attention of audiences. So we're very pleased to be able to provide that service to the filmmakers mm-hmm. and to the audiences, because they deserve to see these really great films. Plus, a festival environment kind of whips up the intensity and enthusiasm of the movie-going experience that audiences do seem to like. If you've ever been to a film festival, you know what it's like. You know, you go to three or four or five films in a day, and it's exhausting, but it's a rewarding kind of exhaustion.
Personally, I know it sounds a little strange, but I'm really looking forward to going back to Angel Hall and seeing a movie there, because I haven't seen one there in 16 years. So this will be kind of nice.
Yeah, you know, and that's probably the best place to see a movie. There's lots of places on the University of Michigan campus, Nantzai Auditorium and Lorch Hall, and, you know, literally a half dozen other places. A modern language building is four places. But yeah, Angel Hall seems to be the best, and that's why we selected that for this first year.
Oh, and then you also had the Movie Palace of the Michigan. So it's just, you know, such a great venue to see
stuff.
Yeah,
and the Art Deco coolness of the State Theater. You know, it's got some issues, and, you know, we hope to address those in time. But the State Theater, the architect's the same architect as the Fox Theater in Detroit, C. Howard Crane.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen a film there as well. I remember it feeling a little like I was in the middle of an M.C. Escher painting.
It is a little bit. Definitely a grindhouse feel, which works well for some films.
Yep.
Sometimes it feels like there is a local film scene, and other times it doesn't. Sometimes it feels like Ann Arbor is right down the road, and other times it feels like it's completely removed from the rest of the world. How do you see, as far as Ann Arbor interacting with the rest of Metro Detroit, is there kind of an olive branch that you reach out with? Or
I hope that this can be that, if that makes sense. You know, we have intentions on Cinetopia continuing for many, many years, and we've always operated for this year as this is our stake in the ground. You know, we couldn't have an 11-day festival with 70,000 patrons coming the first year. So what we're doing is we're starting small and trying to, you know, cover Ann Arbor. And the intention is that, you know, several years from now, we'll have screenings in, you know, Birmingham and West Bloomfield and Flint, and just trying to reach out and have it be more of a regional festival. And I think that Southeast Michigan can support that. And I do think that if we can get some other Southeast Michigan patrons interested and enjoying what we've got going on here with film culture in Ann Arbor, because it is a town that loves movies, then I think that will only help any relationships that are going on with the cities as a whole.
Telegraph Road. Well, it's been so long, and I've been all across this land, but now it's back to Detroit City, to the place it all began. I'm gonna get myself a Coney dog, drink me down some Faygo and some Strohs. I'm coming back, baby, back to Telegraph Road.
Welcome back to the Projection Booth. That was Russ Collins and Amanda Bynum of the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor talking about the first annual Cinetopia International Film Festival. For the full schedule of what's playing and where, visit Michigan Theater's website at www.michigantheater.org/Cinetopia. That's Cinetopia. I'm definitely going to be there as much as I can. It's going to take a lot to make me miss the screenings of The Stewardesses in 3D, Cane Toads, Superman, and What's Up, Doc? I was going to say that June begins a pretty busy month for folks interested in attending film festivals in Michigan, but the Media City Film Festival isn't in June. It starts May 22nd at the Detroit Film Theater, with the rest of it happening over at the Capitol Theater in Windsor. Great space. I've seen a lot of good things over at the Capitol Theater. This is the 18th edition of the annual fest, and it features more than 75 new film and video artworks by artists and filmmakers from across the globe. And just $20 Canadian gets you the full festival pass. Used to be that $20 Canadian was maybe $5 American. Now it's probably more like $25 American. But not to worry. Some people would say, hey, going over to Canada cost me $5 each way each time, but the American Cinemaphiles have a little bit of an advantage on this one. The Detroit Bus Company will be offering free cross-border shuttle service from Detroit to Ann Arbor for the fest. For schedule, tickets, bus reservations, and more, visit MediaCityFilmFestival.com. As MC Hammer would say, I do believe that a run for the border is in order. Over on the west side of the state, the Waterfront Film Festival happens June 14th through 17th in Saugatuck. If you need an excuse to get over to Saugatuck, Douglas, this is it. Check them out online at waterfrontfilm.com. The 5th Annual Detroit Windsor International Festival takes place June 20th through June 24th in downtown Detroit. Their opening night gala, which features the films Beauty Queen and Surf Detroit, will happen down at the Detroit Film Theater. Visit their website at dwiff.org for details. I once tried to surf in Detroit. It didn't work out so well. Up in Traverse City, we've got the Traverse City Film Festival. Funny how that works. You know, the name of the festival is the same as the city in which it takes place. That's happening July 31st to August 5th. One of these years I'm going to get my butt up there, whether it's for the festival or just to enjoy the enchanting area. It's a little early to announce this one, but the Detroit Docs Festival will happen in November, the 15th through the 17th, down at Corktown Cinema. Rob and I have mentioned Corktown a few times before on the show. They're set to open their indoor theater by the end of summer. It will be a 150-seat art house slash rep theater with screenings Tuesday through Sunday every week down at their new space at 2051 Rosa Parks Boulevard. I say new space because these are the same guys that used to run the Burton Theater, where I had the kickoff to launch Impossibly Funky. They were the source for seeing out of the ordinary flicks that were just not going to play anymore. And I know this sounds like a oxymoron, mainstream art theaters, stuff like Into the Void, Santa Sangre, Double Take, etc. So the indoor space happens at the end of summer. In the meantime, they're doing outdoor double features starting in June, where the Corktown Cinema is going to be teaming up with local businesses like Cipino's Pizza, Bikes and Murder, and the Projection Booth. Yes, Rob and I have been asked to come down and host a special live version of the Projection Booth on Saturday, July 7th, where Corktown Cinema will be playing a double feature of Jack Woods' Equinox and Ishiro Honda's Mothra. We're not exactly sure how a live version of the Projection Booth is going to work, if we're going to talk about both films, then given the Projection Booth treatment, or just one, how easy or hard it's going to be to find appropriate interviews for one or both features. Once we nail that down, we'll let folks know what to expect. As soon as we get the details, pretty much expect the unexpected for now. Personally, I would love to get in touch with one of the stars from Equinox, Frank Bonner, who is known to most folks, or at least known to me, as Herb Tarlick of WKRP. Otherwise, I was hoping maybe I could interview those tiny little ladies, the Peanuts, that sing the Mothra song, but I'm not sure if they're still around anymore. I'm not allowed to share the rest of the films being shown on the other nights, at least not yet, but there are some great ones. There's even one night of films, a double feature, that we've covered both of those before on the Projection Booth, and you know I'm going to be pimping the hell out of that when that happens. And no, it's not Solo and Free Enterprise, though those two films would probably play well together. Solo could actually get the bad taste out of your mouth after you've watched Free Enterprise. There's a special night of Detroit-themed picks. I'll tell you that Action Jackson and RoboCop will not be in effect, but they are very good films nevertheless. Visit their website over at CorktownCinema.com for all the details. We'll be sure to be linking to those folks from the projection booth. Once again, mark calendars, Saturday, July 7th, down at the Corktown Cinema, 2051 Rosa Parks Boulevard in Detroit. Visit our website at projection-booth.com for more details as we get them. Double feature, Equinox, Mothra. It's going to be great. All right, that wraps it up, this special episode of the Projection Booth. Be sure to join us next week at a regular time and place, or, to put it another way, see you next Wednesday. Next Thursday, I still owe Pat for that tank of gas.
Let me hear you, Jerome. shakedown. Detroit breakdown. Motor City shakedown.